caracterización de Guerrero, una producción de, ¿cómo se llama en español? Chiapas Media Project, Promedios.
Sí, Promedios.
Promedios. Y también van a poner la otra película, Reclamar la Justicia, Policía Indígena de la Comunidad de Guerrero. So they're also going to be showing the film Reclaiming Justice, Guerrero's Indigenous Community Police. So those are each about a half an hour long, films produced by people in Guerrero. So these are actually done in a really neat project with Promedios, the Chiapas Media Project. Son dos películas cortas que fueron hechas por gente de Guerrero con el apoyo de Promedios, el Chiapas Media Project. Y ahí no... Es en Lucy Parsons Center, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Ah, esta vez la dirección.
Yo lo tengo aquí un momentito.
Lucy Parsons. Lucy Parsons. I can't say it.
Lucy Parsons Center.
Gracias.
It's very near the Massachusetts.
549 Columbus.
Thank you, yes.
549 Columbus Avenue, and it's very near the Massachusetts Ave Orange Line
yes.
T stop.
Which
so
we
that's
call Mass Ave around
7
here.
p.m. next week.
It's in the south end
on
of Boston.
Wednesday in the south end of Boston. Esos son todos los anuncios que yo tengo hoy. Those are all the announcements I have for you today on Sferio.
Vaya. Pues, esperamos que hayan gustado nuestro programa mayormente en inglés hoy. En la semana que viene vamos a estar hablando un poquito en portugués, un poquito en inglés también. Y creo que luego, en la próxima semana, ya vamos a poner la entrevista que hicimos un ratito atrás con el señor Willy Barreno, fotógrafo y videógrafo de Guatemala, de acá ahora de Chicago, pero oriundo de Guatemala.
De Guatemala.
Ajá. This is a little more Arabic music in the background for you guys here. And, oh, and the other thing that we'll hopefully have coming up next week as well is some recordings from my favorite new band. They're called Nation Beat. And they play this outrageous combination of Brazilian music, especially the maracatu sound from northeastern Brazil. And they mix it together with klezmer and bluegrass. It is the most amazing thing. So we'll be hearing a little bit of that too, mixed in with our conversations with the folks from Bloco Afro Brasil. A little bit of Brazilian independence celebration happening a little bit late, but there you go. This and more on Sferio.
Excellent. So to prepare for next week's Sferio, you can check out the celebrations this weekend on Sunday. We'd like to remind our listeners, of course, that the views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.
This is true. Stay tuned for Music for Human Beings. Coming up next, after a little bit more of this music, and perhaps a special announcement from WMBR Cambridge.
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
والفرح الله يتممها لكم
والفرح الله يتممها لكم
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
والفرح الله يتممها لكم
والفرح الله يتممها لكم
وانتوا يا حلوين اقبلكم اغني لكم يا صلاتي مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
والفرح الله يتممها لكم
والفرح الله يتممها لكم
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
مبروك من قلبي بقولها لكم
والفرح
Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. You can make the air taste fresher. Breathe as deeply as you please. You create a world of pleasure just by simply planting trees. Adding shade, creating beauty is just part of what they're worth. You make the world a better place with trees, protecting the good earth. Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
This is Michael Martin Murphy. Plant trees and make a world of difference. Go to arborday.org.
Hi, my name is Angela Grant, and I'm the host of Coffee Time, a program of jazz every Friday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. We listen to hard bop, bebop, West Coast, and cool, early and vocal jazz. Plus, every so often, jazz from the movies or TV. And, at the end of the show, little bit of gospel, little bit of soul. So join me for Coffee Time here on the station that's first on your FM dial, 88.1 FM, WMBR, Cambridge.
مرحبا إلى في Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران. And with me today I have Peace Child Peter.
How's it going, everybody?
And welcome, Peter. And and Lester Woods, who is ordained light minister.
Good evening, everyone. I'm very happy to be back tonight.
Yeah, Lester has been on journeys.
And really, the final journey has ended here.
And here we are. So, Music for Human, you know, our regular listeners are aware that we like, you know, even though it is three of us here tonight in the in WMBR, we like people to call in and we discuss, and really it's all about the listener. It's really all about you.
We are trying to approximate a circle and we have only 3 points.
So it's a very, you know, I mean, it's an approximation.
Circle.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's not a line.
You know. No, it's better than a line.
And also, you know, I'd like to welcome everyone to Ramadan, which started on Monday. You know, I'm not sure everyone is aware, but Jalas al-Sakran is, well, you know, maybe it's obvious from my name, but... you know, like most people from the Hijaz, I'm Muslim, you know. I'm unusual because I'm a New Age Muslim. But I still, you know, follow some of the practices just with a cognizance of the, you know, the rituals that my ancestors have been practicing for over 1,000 years.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Well, and the important thing is that you're embracing the old along with the new in tandem.
Absolutely. And so, you know, whereas to many people, the, you know, Ramadan is well known because of two reasons, right? Firstly, it's because it's the month of fasting. And so today I'm fasting along with everyone else. But I take it as an opportunity to, you know, not to suffer in the fasting, but to treat it as a as an opportunity for a different kind of enlightenment and meditation.
But doctor, isn't the point of Ramadan in part to suffer just a little bit?
Well, yeah, I, you know, I'm not I don't wish to discount the suffering, only that that, you know, it's not all about the suffering.
Ah, yes, of course. I had a question for you actually, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, is it convenient that Ramadan started on Monday this time around?
Well, it's strange, right? It's like many beginnings all at the same time. We had the beginning of Ramadan, we had the beginning of September. For many students, it's the beginning of the semester. And it was also Monday, which was the beginning of the week. And the month started, you know, during the, you know, in the beginning of the day. So it's all beginnings, all at the same time.
You know, this is a very interesting and auspicious moment. It's mm-hmm. like a sequence of fours. Four fours, really.
Yeah, the four fours. Yeah, the four fours. The four fours. Well, also, so to our Muslim listeners, you know, today, sunset, well, everyone knows that Muslims, during Ramadan, they fast from Fajr, which is dawn, until sunset, which is also in Arabic, it's Maghrib. So Maghrib is just about now. So our Muslim listeners could break their fast with maybe some water and some dates and maybe a roast beef sandwich. You know.
You mean the food, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we certainly don't want to hold you up from this important converge of East meets West.
No, absolutely. I'll have some... little bit of club soda and breakfast.
I've heard also that Ramadan is a very social time of the year because while you all those that follow Islam, they fast and they suffer together, there is also this camaraderie that is built so that once the dawn rather the sunset has come, then there's a great feast each time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Shared hardship, you know.
How does it feel to be part of this feast?
Well, I'm going to go and have a little feast now, and I'll be right back and we'll talk about it.
Sounds amazing. Well,
and that's really a great place where we can launch into what we were speaking about before, and that is we're trying tonight to approximate the circle again, and really we can only add one more point to what is now two by your user contribution tonight into the phone lines. Our operators are standing by.
And let's face it, two is, that's just a line. That's not anywhere near a circle. We really do need your calls.
So let's go ahead and throw out the number once again. And that is 617-253-8810.
So earlier today I was doing many of the exercises that Lester has taught me to do to calm my mind and prepare myself for the show. And an interesting thing happened. I'm signaled that we have
it looks like we do have a caller. Hello, caller.
Never beg for calls. Rather, do something provocative.
Well, thank you very much for that.
You know, it's really important that we all consider what is on the front of our mind. We have to look. Is it the latest chakra movement, or could it be something else?
It's a good question. Today on my mind is this experience I had as I was starting to share with everyone here that Lester, I was doing the meditation and the ceremonial rituals that you have taught me to do before the show to prepare, and I was in the meditative state, phase three, as you sometimes call it, and my grandmother came to me for the first time since her sad departure from this earth, from this mortal plane.
Oh, no.
And, well, I don't know that it was so bad. It was nice to speak to her. We spoke about many things. She critiqued my bridge playing, for instance, but it was rather disturbing, in a sense, almost. Can you please give me some sort of advice on how one should deal or interact with old lost loved ones that come at these times?
Well, you know, I think that that's actually a very important crux of the juxtaposition of what is the old person's interaction with the new age. Is one presumed by the other? And that's another question that I think each of us is going to take down our own path and explore.
Well, she seemed, in most part, very happy with how I had chosen to live my life in the 40 years since her tragic departure, but she gave me one interesting piece of advice.
And what was that?
She told me that, well, quite frankly, that she was, well, I don't know how to put this exactly. It's somewhat embarrassing.
You know, the embarrassment is really just a sign of our own inner aggression.
It's true.
At the world at which is perhaps defaced, whether it's, you know, an obstacle that we have yet to overcome, or if it's just an impediment in the short term. These are all things that we just need to take in stride.
Well, this embarrassment, I think, comes from the accepted view of society that I have been indoctrinated by, that I still, after near 60 long years of living, struggle to overcome. And, well, I suppose the best way to put this is she was rather discontented by my choice of friends, I suppose. The best way to put it is my choice of friends and who I interact with and how I interact with them.
You know, that's interesting. She might have been reading something about your compassionate level. really, we see these at the very center of the abdomen. That's where it's initially expressed, and as the compassion is developed, you'll notice that there's some firm and hardening of that area.
Well, I feel almost as though the relations that she was speaking with, the humans that I chose to interact with, the interactions that I was having with them, related to something not quite in the abdomen, but perhaps lower.
Oh, you know, lower than the abdomen is something that we rarely do come across, but if I remember correctly, that's actually the soul level.
And yes, really, it is the an soul intimate point.
Sure, and the soul level is actually two locations. It's one on each side of the back of the neck, right along the curve where the body forms into the neck. And this functions as an expression of self-respect. Sometimes, if you have resonating feelings of self-worth, you know, if you have trouble holding your head up high, this is the spot to massage. Perhaps our listeners and we can do it here now as we're thinking about this.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention the self-worth. I thought that, well, for sure, when I was younger, I did have these mild self-esteem issues, if you're fine with that phrase. But I thought I had overcome them. But then earlier today, my grandmother came here and she gave this, I don't even know how to put it, this sort of disapproving of how I chose to live my life. It was very, when she was alive, she was a very prominent figure in my life. I chose to listen to her words very well. I don't know. Doctor, perhaps you can chime in on this a little bit. I mean, the basic question I have is, like, what would it mean for someone whom I approved of and listened to so in depth while she was in her prime, as far as I knew at the time, to come back in sort of an ethereal form and condemn my choice of life?
Well, you know, traditionally, like my my cooked up response here would be that you are trying to have your cake and eat it too, you know?
You know, that's right. I'm sorry to interject, but that just reminded me that it really is looking at the observance of how our spleen affects the entire body, the well-being, being the health. And really, it's almost like you need to open up the floodgates, relax the spleen. Sometimes you can learn and manage from this type of interaction with our own bodies. It's just an internal development.
Yes, I do want to learn. I'm not quite sure how.
Well, some people worry that they're going to suffer some sort of an emotional overload, but really finding a healthy understanding, you know, not cutting it out. I wouldn't say that that's usually the best measure, but a
you
therapist...
mean removing the spleen?
That's right. That's right.
So, well, my spleen was removed when I was in my 30s, so...
In an accident, or was it surgically removed?
It was infected, and they had to take it out.
Well, so, you know, it's funny, but, like, just because they remove the spleen, first of all, like, surgically, they don't remove the entire organ. You know, usually they will leave, like, a splenular stump. And so there is still a seat of the spleen chakra. You know,
that's right.
It's not removed.
Sort of like a phantom hand, perhaps.
Well, yeah, sort of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you see, the function of the spleen remains there, and likewise, the spleen chakra remains.
That's right, and it acts as a vitalizing energy source that sends love and appreciation to all parts of our body. So it really is an elemental figure in, you know, whether it's from your stomach to tomorrow's lunch. You never know what you're going to be coming up against, but as long as you have that internal energy resonating from the spleen, whether it be the spleen stump, as you mentioned, or the entire chakra-bound spleen.
So, like, the real meat and potatoes of this spleen chakra is really that generally the sort of vision of yourself with an authority figure usually means that you have some sort of self-doubt. But in your case, you know, how recently did you have this vision?
Well, like I said, it was just earlier today.
Hmm.
Preparing for the show, in fact. Putting my mind in that state.
Peter, I mean, you know, I know you, and I really don't feel like there is much self-doubt there.
Well, there was once, and I'm thinking perhaps maybe this is coming back to surface here now through this visiting of my grandmother.
It really seems like a strange polarity of desires. I'm not sure if we should explain these from a monetary sense or whether it's a meditative aspect that's drawing into play here.
Well, I don't think it's monetary. I have no... Oh, we have a caller?
Yeah, our operator is waving, so let's see if we can bring that point in. Hello?
You guys are cops.
Oh, Robert, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So, Robert, do you have a grandmother?
Yes, I have two.
Two grandmothers?
Oh, that's very nice. How do you view them? I'm very curious to get some external feedback on this. I haven't been so troubled in
I don't know, they're women.
Well, yes, but that doesn't seem to matter to me. Why would that matter?
You know, Robert, you may notice that while there are three main focal points for energy, the navel, the heart, and the fifth eye, really, a spontaneous cleansing of these will perhaps work miracles, if some people would go so far to say that, in your life. It's that combination of taking a cold shower in the morning and combining that with a carrot first thing when you wake up.
I don't know, I don't take cold showers.
No, nor do I.
Do you take baths?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I went to the crazy hospital, and all their showers are really cold, and I got a rash on my hands. Moving up my arm.
You know, Robert, that may be an indication that you need to actually test your chakra. And this is an activity that we can all perform at home. It begins with placing some sort of mental energy. First, you take two fingers attached together. You'll hold them down on the under portion of your arm, but make sure your arm, forearm that is facing up. And after you rub in a circular motion, then you'll begin to feel your toes are wiggling. And that's really the vibration of the energies resonating. Now this is one...
Do you have, like, on my wrist or something?
Above your wrist. Three quarters... you know, it's whichever one you feel comfortable enough to start with. And you'll want to start three quarters up the wrist.
I don't know. It looks like if I give this hand a massage that it's going to break out more.
Well, then maybe it's time that we analyze the chakra even more closely.
You think that really occurs? Rashes occur because of...
These things just like rashes, these are all sourced from the chakra. Now, what happens when you take a drink of water? Do you realize that that's releasing any sort of energy from within, or do you still feel the emotional separation between the arms and the event of actually drinking the water?
That does not make sense to me.
Well, you see, Robert, energy is flowing day to day from emotions to organic systems, and really, it's time that we all sit down with a pen and paper and chart out our chakra.
Mm-hmm.
How can an average listener do that, though? I mean, I, for instance, do not, even after my years of studying under you, have any idea of how to feel my chakra and chart it out, least of all.
Right. That's a very good question. And hopefully that's one reason we are here tonight. And let me start off by saying that there are a few things you want to look for. The first one is if you notice that you have an excessively high navel chakra. Now, how you'd notice that is as you move down, placing your hand first on your stomach above the belly button. As you're moving down, you may start to feel drained or burnt out, or you may begin to feel a warmer, almost sweating sensation.
You push on your stomach?
Well, you don't want to push, but you want to make sure that there's some physical contact between
is
those two.
Is that, like, healthy? Like, what would be the point of doing that?
Well, it's actually an interesting query we're going about right now, Robert.
I remember when I was a little kid, I used to push on my eyeballs.
No, that's not the same kind of osmotic pressure that we're looking for here. You know, accidents have actually been found to occur as a result of that kind of action. But here, this is actually well infused with Eastern methodologies, and you'll notice that in many forms of power yoga, all the way to Aikido, you'll see this pushing down of the energies starting at mid-level chest. And, you know, whether you're doing this for sensing your own chakras or if you're warding off some other type of offender, these are all the important characteristics of our complete chakra, holistic mental sense. So, Robert, tell me, do you have a pencil ready?
Yeah.
So the first thing you need to do is follow the instructions that I had just outlined before. Do you have your hand above your belly button?
I have pain on my hand. Well, I have a pretty nice shirt on.
Now, do you notice that your fifth eye chakra is it burning or does it feel more of a cold sensation?
Well, how would we know that?
Well, you know, this is...
Adjectives are weird.
That's an excellent question. And this is an initial sensation that you may feel or you may not. If we don't, then perhaps we need to take a step back.
I think we do.
Well, the first step in taking a step back is actually exhaling before you inhale. So let's all go ahead and first exhale and empty out all of the oxygen, the carbon dioxide, all of those noxious gases in our lungs. And then as you breathe in, think about the new awareness and insight that this addition of atmospheric gases is bringing to all of us. It's really fueling the energy. There's an internal combustion that you should sense as you feel the oxygen and other gases reaching the bottom of your lungs. And that's the first step. Continue to hold that breath. And you can exhale now again.
I don't know, Lester. I'm not feeling...
I didn't hold it the whole time. I let go a little earlier. Just felt more natural. I read in a book that the oxygen is good in the lungs for 5 seconds.
Well, Robert, perhaps you've been following too many of the pre-oxidative pathways. Do you know
I've stopped all that.
Really? And what about your antioxidant uptake levels?
I don't know.
Doctor, I don't know if you have anything to say about...
What about the antioxidant levels?
Yes.
Well, in particular, you know, you will notice that... Do you ever notice sometimes that you wake up and there is a powder on your forehead? I don't know if this happens to anyone else, but in my experience, that shows a very, very high level of antioxidative chakra. So, like, you know, it's strange, but it takes a really extreme amount for this sort of thing to occur. That you wake up and there's some strange powder, you know. Some people wake up and they're sweating, you know. Or they wake up and there's something on their eyes. And all of these things, you know, usually, you, or even in your belly button, you know, that sometimes you find you know people ignore these things, and they are really very suggestive. They will tell you secrets about how your bodily and spiritual energies are functioning. And so it's really important to pay attention to those sorts of things.
What would it mean if you had some crust in your eyes?
Yeah, for example, the eye crust indicates that there is an imbalance, you know, in your between your ear chakra and this stomach chakra that we were talking about earlier.
What if you got wax in your ears?
Well, this is healthy, but too much wax can indicate that your ear chakra, that means you've been listening a little bit too much, and it's time to really meditate more and push your spiritual center outward.
But doctor, what
about...
What
if you got boogies in your nose?
What about just using a Q-tip?
Well, yeah, so that's, you know, that's the attitude of curing the symptom rather than curing the, you know, the origin.
I see. So you're saying if this meditation...
I mean, you know, for example, if you have... If you have a fever, then you could just take a bath and lower your body temperature. But usually it indicates that you are sick. And so you should take something, some antibiotics or something.
So
you know.
If you do this meditation, then mm-hmm. your earwax will disappear?
I mean... That, I mean, it's one possible problem, but, you know, theoretically, yes.
It's fascinating.
And really, you shouldn't concentrate on over-cleaning your ears. I used to have this problem, and as I was traveling around Eastern Asia, I would often employ the help and service of men who would spend their time throughout the day doing this sort of cleaning service, and... You know, actually, it was professed to me later on, and I realize this now, that it really is natural for us to have some sort of earwax buildup. This is a protective layer between the outside world and the chakra. I mean, you know, we are animals, and other animals do not clean their ears.
Well, it's not totally that they don't clean their ears. We are also in an environment that is unnatural, you know? So, for example, in, you know, thousands of years ago, we evolved into a being that could, that was designed... That was designed not to clean their ears, but the you know, we also spent our days running around and swimming and doing all sorts of things that none of us do anymore in our busy consumer driven lives. So things are a little different now, and so it's understandable perhaps that we need to spend a little more time listening in order to resolve these issues. I once met a man who had his entire ear was, you know, his inner ear was just completely full of earwax, and he came to me and he said, Doctor Jalis Sakran, cure me because I cannot hear very well.
Did you cure him?
Well, first thing I did was I shoved a big Q-tip into his ear, and then I told him that he should, you know, do a little more and listen a little less.
That makes sense. I think that what you're getting at is you wanted to impose that he has a dialogue with himself on inner purpose and really fleshing that out and seeing what he could make with it in the future.
Right, he had some sort of, you know, it's almost like he had earbees or something, you know. It really was too much wax.
You know, that reminds me of what the Roman philosopher Tacitus had observed. And he says that the desire for safety stands against every great and noble enterprise. And I really feel like we can take this home, whether home is in the west coast of North America or the great Adriatic Sea of Ubla Dubai. These are all the powers of now. But doctor, I was curious about... Perhaps you could connect for us and better explain more about how your process of Ramadan has been progressing throughout the week.
Yeah, it's really an interesting experience. So I don't know if you gentlemen have ever fasted before, but it's very similar to, it's almost euphoric. You know, there is a, in the beginning it's very, very much you are thinking about how you want to eat a muffin, you know, that you want to eat breakfast. And that happens in the middle of the morning. And then later you are thinking in the morning you are thinking about how thirsty you are and how much you'd like some water.
Sure.
And then the day wears on and you know the sun begins to sink and you start to think about how tired you are.
Right.
And so it's really like a progression of many basic drives that you must tell them one by one. No, you know, I am fasting, and I will not eat, I will not drink, and you know, depending on how observant you are, I will not sleep.
So tell me, maybe I'm the only one, but I'm curious now what the story of Ramadan is. Why do those that follow Islam decide to fast during around September?
Well, it's not around September. So the Islamic calendar is a lunar calendar. And unlike many other lunar calendars that are, you know, used by other cultures, the Islamic calendar has no mechanism for adjusting its calendar to line up with the sidereal calendar. So in particular, other calendars have leap days or leap months. But, you know, in the Islamic calendar, it simply drifts backwards. So it drifts backwards about 10 days every year. So Ramadan was last year a little later, and the year before a little later yet. And so year by year, now the days of Ramadan get longer and the nights get shorter. And the fasting becomes slightly harder. You know, as the month wears on, the days, of course, are getting shorter. But at some point, we are going to hit the longest day of the year, which
summer
is
summer solstice.
The solstice, thank you. And so then things will, of course, go backwards again.
So let me ask you this: what are the rules for infants? Is there any particular age at which a Muslim starts fasting?
Well, you know, there's some disagreement about it, but certainly infants are not expected to fast. Generally, they are expected to begin at puberty or so.
Which is what age? Is there
puberty?
So 13?
Well, puberty, it depends on the individual.
I see.
Yeah. Some people are, you know, a little later than others.
As soon as there is evidence, then they are expected to fast.
Yeah.
So you get more air in your belly.
You know, I wonder if they have the capacitance to fast. That's actually, I may come from a bit more of a modern new age group, but that's actually the question that I want to ask.
The capacitance.
Right, the capacitance.
So, Lester, what do you mean by the capacitance exactly?
You mean really like electrical capacitance?
Right, I'm talking about the charge.
Which is an interesting thing because I've never measured the capacitance of people as they are fasting. But considering that the, you know, sort of gases and chakras become more dense within the individual, you would expect the capacitance to rise greatly and quickly.
Exactly. And on top of that, you'd also think that because there are higher concentrations of saline solution within the average individual, that they would also be much more conductive.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So that's an interesting thing. I've noticed very many unusual things while fasting, but that's not one that I thought to measure.
Well, what have you noticed?
Well, one thing that I've noticed is a very funny relationship between the subconscious and the conscious. So I notice that many times the inattentive person may be driven by things that they do not apply logic to. So for example, it is not unusual that in the first few days of Ramadan, I will find myself in the middle of the day walking to a restaurant, you know, sort of without thinking about it in the middle of the day, because there is a part of my brain which is saying, he is hungry, let's go eat and let's go to a restaurant, you know. And it's usually not until that I'm like halfway there before my thinking and, you know, waking brain really takes over. And I think to myself, why? Why am I going to the restaurant, right? It's Ramadan, there's no reason. And depending on where I am, maybe the restaurant is not even open.
Sure, that makes sense. We really need to consider this a closed-loop system. You know, I'm not sure if any of you have come across any sort of backlash, bandwidth troubles when you're considering about Ramadan, but maybe these are terms that we need to start introducing into the New Age vocabulary.
Ramadan?
And into Ramadan, yes.
Yeah. That's true. Of course, the remainder of the Islamic calendar is based on Ramadan. There are 12 months, and what is it? 6 of them are rearrangements of the syllables in Ramadan. So there is Radaman and Damaran and Madaran, and you know, all of these other months. And then the other.
Does Maran have anything to do with Mom?
Mom?
Maram? What would I pronounce it?
No, it's Madaran.
Madaram?
Yeah, it's actually, no, it's unrelated. But when I first came to the United States, I thought that Dennis Rodman was named after the month of Radaman.
You know, that's really curious. I had never thought about it like that.
Yeah, sort of unusual. But
does he subscribe to that religion that you speak of?
Dennis Rodman?
the basketball player guy.
I don't think he's Muslim, but maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Do you have that information?
Well, regardless, I don't think that this is a place that we need to be making any kind of value judgments like that.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I don't. Maybe Robert is.
Hey, man, I'm not a good person.
No, I'm not saying that you are a good or bad person. I just, you know, your amusement, I thought maybe it's...
I am politically incorrect. They don't like that nowadays.
No, it's all right, you know.
Even the people that are politically incorrect, they all pretend they're not. It's really gross.
Hang on there, Robert. Stick with us. We have another caller. See what's going on. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, marhaba.
Namaste.
This about, you are calling about Radaman?
Well, I'm calling also about, I want to thank you for spreading a little awareness about fifth eye massage. My name is Ben, Ben Shanks. Can I say my last name?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, I've called a few times. I've battled a bit with some issues with rage, and nothing has given me sweet release more than fifth eye massage.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, it's I've just found it very beneficial. It's relaxing. It sort of takes all the tension away, and I can function in society now. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Fifth eye massage. So, like, you know, I'm kind of curious what brought you to Fifth Eye Massage in particular.
Well, I was hanging out with a dancer in an adult establishment, and I got her to come back to my apartment with me after I left my wife. And she showed me some ways. I don't really want to get too graphic, but you know, this is a children's program after all, and you know, they will jump off that.
You know, Greg, tell me more. What
my
sort
name's
of...
Ben? Actually, my name's Ben Shanks.
Oh, sorry, Ben.
No, it's okay.
Tell me a little bit more about the intuitional, compassionate, and the various body, will, spiritual levels that you were counter-interfacing with on the other side of, I don't know if it was your left nostril or if you found that this time it was your right nostril. Usually you can tell this by discovering which one, when you first wake up in the morning, is more blocked than the other.
Well, it wasn't really a nostril that was blocked. Again, I want to try to keep this clean, but
well, no, I think we all understand, but
yeah.
What's
interesting
is that you went to Fifth Eye Massage because it's very often when people come to me and they tell me they have rage problems, mm-hmm. I recommend to them a number of teas and herbs, and they tend to help a great deal.
Yeah, I've noticed that teas of various kinds, especially those that are fresh brewed, tend to relax and alleviate many ailments, actually. Sometimes all you need is a good warm drink that is natural and herbal.
Well, this I don't know. I guess we would, you know, drink a little tea, and, you know, definitely. It was... Once we sort of dipped into some herbs, my dancer friend sort of kind of helped me find the way.
That's interesting. Now, she
managed to tap
right, sure.
The fourth eye.
Now, tell me, have you heard about the 20 locations?
I only have two eyes.
Greg, is this something that you've heard about before?
And I washed my back.
I'm sorry. I always get that wrong.
Very good.
So Ben, tell me if you can do this for us now. The first thing I'd like you to try is to take a deep, peaceful breath and feel yourself relaxing and becoming more connected with the energy around you. Now, the next thing you should be aware of is the flowing chakras, which are increasing your awareness of the metaphysical and the aphysical world.
The in-physical, the out-physical. I mean,
I'm aware. I'm getting a little bit of noise because I'm right now at the time of frying up. I got a pan of Portuguese sausage going, and it's salty and spicy. And
oh, Portuguese
kind of
sausage, very
delicious.
Nice.
Charisse.
Well, yeah, so just in case for our listeners who may not know the five eyes, there is the left eye and the right eye, right, which people are, I think, universally aware of. Mm-hmm. And then there is an inner eye and an outer eye, which are the third and fourth eyes.
Oh, there's a few inner eyes, believe you me.
And then there is the self eye, which is the fifth eye. And so it's interesting that the self-eye is the one that you had massaged. You know, it's sort of dangerous, I would say, to massage several of the other eyes.
Well, I mean, it's safety.
Are you talking about rubbing the center of your forehead?
No,
safety
no.
Always came first.
That feels good. All of those do. The back of your head feels good to massage.
Now, Greg, a point I'd like to go back to is that you're talking about cooking up ham and sausage. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
Charisse, can you hear it? Brian sizzling in the background. Here we go. Listen.
I ate a hamburger and I told it that I was going to kill you.
You know, I'm not sure that unfortunately, our listener audience is able to detect those sound levels. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you about is, have you been coming across any sort of... throat troubles? I don't know if there's been scratchiness or any soreness.
No, I, I,
I use a lot of hot peppers, and that kind of keeps the throat troubles down.
Okay, that would be another solution. The reason I ask is because oftentimes we see these types of attractions and interactions between human and food to be correlated between the ailments that we're and our human bodies are suffering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I mean, aside from Portuguese sausage, I'm a vegetarian. Mm. You know how, I mean, some vegetarians, you know, they get the pass for bait fish, but with me, it's sausage. I eat sausage and just don't eat any other meat.
Oh, right. And
Greg, I'm interested now. I'm sorry to go off on this tangent, but what kind of Portuguese sausage are you eating? I'm a big fan.
It's called Charisse. I was using a brand called Gaspar's, but now I've found a better one. Let's see, I'm going to have to actually fish. DaCosta. Since 1932, they've been making this stuff. It's Portuguese brand sausage. It's delicious.
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I'm a big fan.
Fantastic
you
stuff.
Know, the
hey, I do realize we're coming up on the top of the hour, and you guys got to go, but... I just wanted to thank you for all of your important work, and my life continues to be rage-free.
Well, we wanted to thank you for your contributions as well, and be sure to tune in next week. Don't forget that this is a cycle. We are continuing the pattern.
Right. Just like we try to approximate a circle, we embody a cycle every week we are here.
A sort of a helix.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I'm borderline angry with anticipation.
Excellent.
But I'm not going to go there.
No.
I'm going to just massage that massage up. Yeah. Keep the massage up.
And just remember to keep a balanced flow.
Exactly. I'm going to bop down to Mario's show place in Johnston, and I don't know. It's not making any sense. I just want to smash them. Okay. All right. Namaste.
Thank you.
Take care, then, thank you, Greg.
Peace and shanti.
Namaste.
And
electricity is in your brain. It's cut off from most people.
Well, Robert, I'm afraid we're also going to have to let you go.
Yeah, that's about all I can say.
But thank you.
I don't know if I'll be here next week.
Well, you know, keep calling us if you are.
I don't know. It seems like no one had any real valid questions to ask, so that's cool.
You know, I almost take offense at that. I did have very real concerns about this encounter with my grandmother.
Well, anyway, Robert, it's, you know, I feel like there is no pressure. Just come and talk and be with us, and it's wonderful to be with you.
Okay, cool. And I love the studio show. You guys are all pretty neat.
And awesome. And Robert, there's no pressure. If you are here and if you feel like it, then that's that. There's no need to continue on.
Cool.
All right. My salama, Robert.
Good night.
Namaste, man. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our hour here.
That's right. This rips up another week of Music for Human Beings.
And the first of Ramadan.
Yeah, and so as Ramadan continues, I'll announce the breakfast time. Unfortunately, I think it's actually before our show every week after this, but anyway, yeah. What are you going to do, you know?
That's right.
Anyway, we'd like to thank our listeners for being with us and our callers. And we're sorry to anyone who called if we couldn't get your call. But keep calling, and we love to connect with others outside the station.
And thank you for joining us here on Music for Human Beings. That's at WMBR 88.1 FM, Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Ma'asalama.
Namaste.
For safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes. stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
When I grow up, I want to be an astronaut or a firefighter.
I want to be a singer and a chef.
I'm going to be, well...
I don't know.
I'm going to be nothing. I'm going to drop out of school.
I've got a kid. I just need to make some money.
I'm joining the gang.
I'm going to work the streets, sell some drugs, make some money.
Kids are born with hope, but it can disappear if there's no one there to nurture it. When you believe in a child, you believe in their dream. By providing a caring adult, a safe place to learn and grow, and valuable skills, communities and schools helped almost 1 million children last year stay in school and prepare for life. We've been around for over 25 years and were named one of the 100 nonprofits most likely to save the world by Worth Magazine. Now just think what we could accomplish with your assistance. Communities and schools, helping kids stay in school and prepare for life.
I guess we're on. Everybody? No? Oh, wow. Turn them all on.
Hello. Wow.